You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Yeah.
Welcome back to The Wire. This next story mentions eating disorders and disordered eating.
A new study from researchers at the University of Auckland has found that there was an increase in hospital admissions for eating disorders during the COVID-19 pandemic.
The study found that 10 to 19-year-old girls with diagnoses of anorexia nervosa had the most significant increase, and that Māori had proportionately more hospital admissions for eating disorders than others. Admissions for other mental health disorders mostly stayed the same or decreased during the pandemic. I spoke to Dr. David Menkes, an academic psychiatrist at the University of Auckland and co-author of the study, about the study's findings and what can be done to avoid similar spikes in the future. This idea that the most impacted group was girls aged 10 to 19, do you think that there are any reasons why it may have been the case that this specific group is so heavily impacted by this increase?
Yeah, well, I guess the other thing is that that's also a group that tends to use social media a lot. And I think during the pandemic, there were certainly increases in social media use. Certainly some people spent a lot more time online because they weren't going to school, they weren't going to work, whatever. So I think online activities definitely increased across the population. Previous work, pre-pandemic work, that social media use can be harmful to mental health, particularly in young people. And the eating disorders are no exceptions. A lot of the social media platforms people in and, you know, get them to spend, you know, more and more on that platform. And one of the ways that the algorithms do that is to present more and more extreme material. So this happens in the political world with polarization of political views. But I think it also happens in the world of eating disorders, where people who are just, you know, a little bit that way inclined might find themselves drawn in and become like more and more extreme in their views and their behavior, just because that's the way algorithms work. So a bit unfortunate, but I guess the combination of, you know, the social media marketing strategies the way they are, coupled with the fact that people had more time on their hands, but, you know, access to social media, means that it may well have played a role. We didn't specifically for that. Our data set didn't allow it. But it certainly suggests that it may be one factor that should be looked at, I guess, retrospectively with regard to the COVID thing, but also looking forward. I mean, we're going to have, in all probability, other public health emergencies, you know, whether it's a virus or something else. We're going to find, you know, restrictions on our behavior caused by emergencies in this country as elsewhere. And I think we just need to be mindful of the fact that this can have big effects on people's health.
Has the number of people with eating disorders gone back to pre-COVID levels, or would you say the numbers are still increasing?
There has not, since our study finished at the end of 2021. It looked like the youngest female band, that is the sort of 10 to 15 group, were continuing to increase, whereas most of the other demographic groups were sort of leveling off. So what's happened since then, I don't know. It would for that to be monitored, though. And I think, you know, there may well be somebody in the Ministry of Health whose responsibility would be to keep an eye on those numbers. We haven't particularly. I mean, the study that we did was wrapping up at that point. But I think this the question you raised is an important one, because it certainly, that kind of information would inform service planning. And we need to know really what the numbers are centrally in order to ensure that, you know, the adequate supply of attention and resources are devoted to those areas of need. It certainly looked like things were tending back toward normal for most of the demographic groups, but that's against a gradual overall increase over time. And so eating disorders are still very much with us and are still often a covert disorder, which basically means that, you know, there's a lot of it out there that and that's often because people are embarrassed about it. They often try to conceal it from friends and family. And, you know, accordingly, getting it out in the open is probably a good idea, even though it's embarrassing for a lot of people to do so. It needs to be seen and recognized and in order to be adequately assessed and treated. So I think coming out of the shadows is you know, quite a good motto for, you know, many illnesses, but eating disorders certainly among them, because if you don't see them, you can't assess and you can't intervene.
Just to end off with, what can be done in future pandemics or events that have a disruption in social relationships to avoid similar increases in eating disorders?
Oh, I wish I knew the answer to that. I guess, I mean, one of the things surely is to be aware of this possible effect and to make sure that services are structured and resourced in order to recognize spikes if they do happen again. I guess the other thing, you know, more generally, is with regard to those two, you know, main drivers that we, you know, giving people as much autonomy over their lives as possible would be good, because I really think that, you know, the gross, you know, disruption of social relationships is probably playing a role at some level. And so giving people a little more or as much as is safe autonomy around who they associate with, and, you know, having both personal space and social space, I think is quite important. I don't know how much you can do that in a severe lockdown, but, you know, we should certainly take those factors into account. The other thing would be, obviously, I guess, recognizing the potentially very harmful effects of social media use, particularly in the young, and, you know, how that's managed is a much wider question, but I guess at least recognizing the fact that social media use can have very harmful consequences, particularly for young people and particularly for psychiatry. So having, I guess, a degree of media literacy around that, I mean, kids really, you know, obviously be informed about how social media works and the fact that, you know, it can be a very addictive and occasionally destructive pastime to indulge in, means that hopefully it's not going to become, you know, a deleterious factor in people's lives as it seems to have done in the past. It again, this is a wider social question. I think it's a big political issue, because, you know, we're not really advocating censorship, but I guess what we'd really like is enlightened and informed consumption of media. And how you do that with young people who are, you know, just becoming literate is a challenge, and I guess it's a big challenge for both parenting and for the educational system. But it seems an incredible reach to touch almost all of us.
Awesome. That's all I've got for today. Did you have anything else you'd like to add?
Yes, we didn't speak much about the effect on Maori, and I'm perhaps not the best person to discuss being Tauiwi myself, but there has been some definite interest from that community and from Maori health providers, and I guess, yeah, just a real plug to say that sensitive and safe clinical practice seems to be really important, so that this rather striking effect in the Maori community can be, you know, understood and addressed, because, you know, clearly it's a real thing that Maori had, you know, basically instead of a 50% increase, they had a 150% increase in numbers of admissions. And so, yeah, something's certainly going on there. You know, whether that has something to do with Maori social structures and multi-generational families, whether it has to do with their particular consumption of social media, we don't know. These are all, you know, interesting questions, but I think the fact that, you know, we are a bicultural country And, you know, under the treaty, we really need to do our best to address any health inequities. Well, here's another one that obviously deserves attention.
That was University of Auckland researcher Dr. David Minkus speaking to me about a recent study on the spike in eating disorder hospitalizations during COVID.
If you need support, talking to someone you know or contacting formal services can be helpful. For support, call the Eating Disorder Association New Zealand 0800 2EDANZ or 09 5222 679, or you can free call or text 1737 anytime to speak to a trained counsellor for any reason.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.